Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power-packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Our Lord and King. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign and host of Serious Street Talk Radio, standing in tonight for Elder LaVon L. Breland, founder of Urban Glory Campaign and host of the Rhema Remnant Radio right here, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned tonight for an excerpt from the Leadership Conference teaching, Integrity in Ministry.
Faced with an economic downturn in modern-day type famine, the call for integrity rings louder yet heard dimmer in the hearts of too many leaders across the globe. Manipulation introduced by temptation has received a welcome and some more pulpits to satisfy the pockets of grief-stricken ones who disrespect the God they represent and disappoint the persons they mishandle, acting as the God of themselves, providing and supplying a life for themselves and often their families. When will this cycle end? It is time for men and women of honor to hold our colleagues in the gospel accountable for their usury, change their minds, repent, and walk worthy of their vocation with a life and ministry of integrity. Integrity is explained in Hebrew origin as wholeness. Scripture tells us that he will sanctify us wholly. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-34. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, H-O-L-L-Y, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, and listen to this, who also will do it. Integrity is explained in Hebrew origin as sanctification in its wholeness. This is the words of Paul to the church of Thessalonica that God would sanctify them wholly, their whole man, which is spirit, soul, and body, being preserved blameless by the Spirit of the living God until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 24 again, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Wholeness is also defined in its Hebrew origin as prosperity in entirety. We see in 3 John verse 2, as we all have heard many times, the words of the apostle John, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Prosperity in its entirety is prosperity or wholeness of the entire man, just as we saw in 1 Thessalonians of this chapter. The entire man, our spirit, which is the core of us, who we are, our body, which we live in, and our soul, which we live in the influence of. God in the beginning in Genesis breathed into us, breathed into man, and man became a living soul. We live in our body and with our soul, and we are spirit. Integrity also is explained in Hebrew origin as purity. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 12, Paul is talking to Timothy, who was a mentee of his, or one who Paul mentored or fathered in the gospel. Paul often used the term son in the gospel, or follow me as I am your father in the gospel. He says in verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. I'm reading from the King James. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wine fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit, but it profits little. But godliness is profitable unto all things. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, and faith, in purity. In purity. Paul is talking to Timothy, who he laid hands on for the gift of God to be stirred up in him that was given to him by the generations of godly servants of the Lord, his mother and his grandmother, Lois, who were women of God, who poured into him a heart for God and poured into him a reverence for the sacredness of ministry. And Paul comes right along and begins to that scripture, uses the words water, the seed that was planted by the matriarch representation in the family of Timothy. And Paul is grooming Timothy for ministry, and he gives him these words, and we see various instructions that Paul gives Timothy in both the first and second letter to Timothy concerning ministry and what to teach the laity that are in the ministry that he is over, and him representing God in ministry, doing the work of an evangelist, being steadfast in doctrine and sound doctrine. He continuously says this to him. And he emphasizes purity, which ends this particular, I would say, statement in chapter 4. In verse 12, he ends it out saying, don't let anyone despise your youth. I know you're young, but let no one despise your youth. And he says for him to be an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and in purity. Purity, which is explained in Hebrew origin for integrity. Wholeness and purity in the English language, in the English origin. Integrity is explained as soundness. And we find in scripture where the word of the Lord speaks about soundness of mind, soundness of speech, and decency, which yields from and to order. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, Paul talks to Timothy again. And he encourages him to not be ashamed of speaking the word with boldness just because of things that Paul has been through as far as his persecution and imprisonment. He tells him that God has not given us the spirit of fear in verse 7. Let's start at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. There he is, calling him son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure, there goes purity again, conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So he did not only, I want to throw this in here, he did not only give Timothy the label of son and consider himself his spiritual father or father in the gospel, however you want to term it, but he actually implemented it in his prayer. He covered Timothy. It's something that we do not see in these times. We hear a lot of people saying, my son, my daughter in the gospel, but they barely see them or speak with them. My son and daughter in the gospel in their prayer life for their own, in their own personal devotion toward God is lacking, let alone them praying for those who they consider their mentees or their sons and daughters in the gospel. Just as Paul told Timothy, and also he told Titus this, he said to stay away from and beware of those who have that type of conversation, conduct. Beware of them and see them as definitely a sign or a showing, a manifestation of it being the last day. It will give heed to seducing spirits, the doctrine of devil, having a form of godliness, and I am the power thereof. He says to beware of these types of people. We find that he continues on, addressing his son in the gospel, saying that he ceases not to pray for him. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that in thee also, for it was a generational legacy that was passed down of the matriarch of his family. That's an encouragement to women. That I don't know what the situation was with the men of Timothy's family, but obviously, if there was a significant contribution by them, there would have been a mentioning of them. Wouldn't you agree? Since there is not a mentioning of them, we don't find that in Scripture, and Paul actually takes the role of being his father by the Spirit. We see that Paul gives, by inspiration, because Scripture is written by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Paul gives credence or gives acknowledgement to these two women of God, Lois, who is Timothy's grandmother, and Eunice, who is Timothy's mother, who had, according to Paul, unfeigned faith that they passed on to Timothy, who was their offspring. That is outstanding. Women of God, be encouraged. If they are not meant to take, to step up concerning your offspring, particularly your male offspring, know that God will be the father that is not there. And he will also cause a strong man of God in some form, at some point in their life, to pour into them with a pure conscience, will pour into them and raise them up, help raise them up into the man of God that they are called to be. So we said the verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou struck the gift of God that is in thee by the putting on my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Verse 8, be not therefore ashamed. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who is encouraging Timothy to have a sound mind concerning ministry. We use the scripture oftentimes to in a generic form, which it can be used in a generic form, because this applies to all of us, because we all have been given the same, as scripture says, spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak, and speak also means do. We do according to the word of God. We have not the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. This is the same spirit. Paul is actually talking in context to Timothy, who is his mentee. So we find that he is encouraging him to not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord and be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of him, Paul, as a prisoner for the sake of Christ. He's being imprisoned at various times and persecuted at various times because of the work of Christ, because of the name of Jesus. Verse 9 says, who hath saved us and called us with his holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing, of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So integrity is explained in English origin as soundness, which soundness brings soundness of mind. Now, soundness of speech, Paul talks to Titus about this in chapter 2 and verse 8 of Titus. He says these words, but speak out of things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and peace. So he's giving Titus also instruction concerning those that he is leading. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior that becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sober faith, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound speech is important. It is imperative for us in ministry to have sound speech and sound doctrine. So that, as I believe it was Peter that said, we would receive persecution for the sake of Christ and not because of our own error. That is a Selena version as far as our translation is concerned. Look at the first and second letters of Peter, epistles of Peter, and you see that Peter talks about not receiving persecution because of our own error, but we receive, I believe he uses the word strife. Of persecution for the sake of the name of Christ. It's important and it's imperative to have sound speech and sound doctrine. Know what we are talking about coming from the scripture. Letting the scripture speak for itself rather than having private interpretation or our own interpretation as scripture says that as the word of God says that scripture is not of any private interpretation. So we see Paul speaking to Titus. In the same manner he does with Timothy, he's giving him instruction concerning himself and ministry and also the people that he leads. So he's saying sound speech. And we see he's speaking concerning the various genders and levels of life persons that Titus has to deal with. He talks about what to teach the older women concerning them teaching the younger women, what to teach the young men concerning their lifestyles and how to conduct themselves in the spirit of Christ. It's very important. I have to throw this to some out there. that when we look at scriptures of this context, I cannot deal with it because it does not, it would take us on a tangent. But look at this type of scripture. In this chapter, we see where he talks specifically to the older woman concerning what to teach the younger woman. And he goes into a list about the three tastes, keepers at home, good, obedient. It is imperative for us to understand the English language and the various terminologies and the way that we dissect our language and interpret what we read, reading comprehensively. As you all know, and probably know where I'm going with this for a moment, this chapter, along with other chapters, including 1 Corinthians 11, we have taken many doctrines, and the church has taken many of these scriptures out of context and has used it as a means or a tool of bondage to the female gender as well as, to some degree, men. It is important for us to be solely led by the Spirit of God and to allow the Spirit of God, as he is, be the teacher. He wrote it. He inspired men to write it. So we must listen to him. We see John saying in Revelation countless times, let every man that hath in me, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying. So we see Paul giving Titus the same, in the same manner, instructions to Titus as he has given to Timothy concerning his leadership, having sound speech, soundness of mind. He dealt with Timothy, soundness of speech, he says to Titus. In Matthew 5:37, we find the words of Jesus where he says, let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. This is in sound speech. Vagueness, being fickle, being shaky with our words, is unacceptable, and we cannot come to the thicker depth like that. We must be sure, and as Paul says in Scripture, be persuaded in our own mind, and speaking the truth in love, we must do that. Sound speech, which yields from a sound mind. So we have soundness of mind, which is the origin of integrity, soundness of speech, and we hear Jesus himself saying, let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatever is more than the coming of evil, exposed from evil, having a vagueness, having shakiness, having, as James says, a double mind. As James says, a double-minded man is unstable. Instability is not a God. Unstable in all of his ways. Instability, which is a mental state. Instability in the mind. Double-minded, shaky. Blow with every wind of doctrine, as we know from Scripture. Ministers having a shaky mind. There are too many ministers now. If you just Google certain topics, you can hear MP3's podcast of ministers who are shaky-minded, ministers who don't know what to believe, don't know what they believe, and therefore come across the airwaves and the vast, vast media airwaves that we have in 2009, podcasts and streaming radio and traditional radio still being in the picture, and streaming TV, traditional TV, digital TV, TiVo, all kinds of media. We can watch TV on a still phone. Technology is so bad. And thank God for the gospel being able to be spread through all those means. And we see at the same time the negative aspect of it, where there are it's too wide open and there's too many voices. It's time for us to be of the same mind, speaking the same thing as Scripture says, and having sound mind, first of all, and having sound speech. Then also from the English origin is decency, which yields from and to order. Let's back up and go back to soundness of speech. James followed the words of Jesus in the vein of what Jesus was speaking of in Matthew 5:37, where in chapter 5, verse 12, he says, in his, what I call, James, the Proverbs of James. His manner of writing is a lot like Proverbs, where he just gives straight instruction. No adding to or taking away, he just gives instruction. He says in verse 12 of chapter 5, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. These things come of evil, Jesus says, and James says, don't do a vagueness of conversation because it causes you to fall into condemnation. You go into a condemnable state. The English origin of integrity also gives decency. We find in 1 Corinthians 14 and 40, that Paul says to the church of Corinth, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, Paul states this after giving instruction concerning the ministry gift operation and corporate worship. So we find that appropriation concerning the ministry gift is also found in integrity. To be ministers of integrity, to operate in integrity in ministry, however you want to word it, we must in our inner man, in our entire being, be whole, pure, have a sound mind, and operate in decency concerning the Spirit of God. Now let's go on to how the scripture expresses integrity and the various characters and personalities that we see represented in scripture. Scripture expresses integrity through the life of Jesus. Jesus, in his communication to the disciples, he teaches continuously unfolding the will of the Father whenever the opportunity presents itself. We find Jesus speaking the parables, of course, to the multitudes, and then to the 70 disciples, he gave them instruction and also sent them out at one particular time during his ministry. But concerning the 12 that were his, as we may say, in a circle, he unveiled or revealed, he gave revelation to them concerning the words of God and the teaching, the principles of himself, of Christ, by the power of the Spirit of God, according to the judgment, as we'll see later on in this lesson, according to the judgment that he heard and sees. Had heard and seen his Father do. We see that in the 5th chapter of John. So we see Jesus in his communication to the disciples, he expresses integrity. What was in him was expressed outwardly in a genuine and sincere manner, yielding soundness and effectiveness in his ministry. His ministry, he constantly taught the disciples as well as showed us